Hello! Thank you for joining us today on this first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. While we look forward to the kingdom of God and seek it first along with God's righteousness, it is during the Feast of Tabernacles we celebrate the kingdom of God. This feast is a multi-day celebration with a holy day on the first day today and ends with a holy day known as the Last Great Day. Throughout the world, we take pride in the country that is our home, and yet the kingdom of God will be a kingdom far superior to any government that mankind could ever devise. When we think of the plot line to a story, the kingdom of God is the climax to God's plan of salvation, and this feast foreshadows this incredible time to come. We seek a kingdom that will bring peace to our planet, and we seek a new heaven and a new earth with a new Jerusalem as the capital. When we think of the kingdom of God, a kingdom that will be realized in the future, we celebrate a kingdom that requires faith. All that we do and all that we believe is based on faith. Faith is the substance of what we hope for and things we have not yet seen. By faith, we understand that the universe and all things in the universe were created by God. When we see the incredible inventions of today, we know these inventions use raw materials created by God. We also know it was by faith that the righteous of millennia ago lived. By faith, Abel had a more perfect sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith, Noah built an ark, even when there was no indications a flood was coming. By faith, Abraham left his home country, traveled to a new location, and by faith, he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. A city we will see during this feast is known as New Jerusalem. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, and without faith, we have no hope of being part of the kingdom of God. So it is essential we have faith to be part of the kingdom of God. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The original command regarding the Feast of Tabernacles was given to Israel, as recorded in the book of Leviticus. On God's sacred calendar, today is the 15th day of the 7th month, and today is a holy day. For 7 days we are to keep this feast. There is also a holy day on the eighth day, the last great day. On the first day, boughs of trees were to be taken, and all who were native-born Israelites were to live in booths. The offerings and sacrifices referenced would have been required of Israel, but with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who died once for all, these types of offerings and sacrifices are not needed anymore. Leviticus 23, verse 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day. Besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings, which ye give unto the Lord. Also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. As we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, looking forward to the kingdom of God, through faith, we know a king will reign in righteousness, and we know that king to be Jesus Christ. This kingdom to come will be unlike the nations of today that can be plagued with corruption. In some nations today, the people do not trust their leaders, and in the kingdom of God, trust will be established. No longer will only a few be called, because at this future time, all will be called, and will be no longer blinded to the truth. Knowing the truth of God, the people will not be deceived by lies and hypocrisy. Today, people become frustrated when government respects what is evil and vile, and spurns that which is good and righteous. In the kingdom of God, good will be called good, and evil will be called evil. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. It is especially during the Feast of Tabernacles that through faith we consider Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is the rod that comes forth from the stem of Jesse. We have all probably seen well-intentioned laws and policies of government that evil people have somehow used to exploit the poor and those in need. As the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ will be not only looking out for the best interest of all who are on earth, including the poor and needy, but he will also not tolerate those who might try to exploit others. because we are told he will slay the wicked. The kingdom of God to come will be a time of equity for all, and an incredible time of peace that even animals will be at peace with each other. The lion will lay down with the lamb, and a little child will lead them. Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall stand, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play at the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In the book of Amos, we are given a vision of restoration in the kingdom of God. Imagine how it will be when all that was lost by Israel because of their prior sins will be restored. Harvests will be so bountiful that farmers will still be harvesting when it is time to plant the next round of crops. This future restoration will be permanent, as the heart of the people will be changed. Amos 9, verse 11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen, which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Daniel tells us the kingdom of God will never be destroyed, nor will it ever be overtaken by other kingdoms. He tells us that the kingdom of God will stand forever. When we consider the historical implications of the kingdoms and nations of our present world, no matter how small or great, these will be a footnote compared to the greatness that is the kingdom of God. Daniel 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Isaiah describes how the kingdom of God will be established in the end time, and shows that all nations will become part of this future kingdom. The word of God, and not the traditions of mankind, will be learned. As a result, a time of incredible peace will be ushered in on planet Earth. With no need for weapons of war, our planet will experience a true peace dividend where the living is good for all people who do what God expects of them. Isaiah 2, verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he shall teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords in the plowshares, and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Micah writes that when the kingdom of God is established, that many will come to be part of it. They will want to learn the ways of God and will want to do what is expected of them. And they will also reap this future peace dividend, where war is a thing of the past, and that people are able to relax and enjoy the bounty of their own land. Micah 4, verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords in the plowshares, and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. The faith that we have that causes us to look forward to the kingdom of God, like Abraham looked to a city whose builder and maker is God, is a faith that goes beyond just belief. The faith that we have leads us to do what God expects of us today. Faith without action is like wishing that a person's needs be provided when it is in our power to provide for their needs. Faith without action leads to nothing. The faith that we must have leads us to do what God expects of us, along with all the belief and hope that we have. James 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only? Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We need to remember the words of Paul to Timothy, who reminded him that when Jesus Christ returns, it will be a time of judgment. Timothy was encouraged to preach the word of God based on sound doctrine, knowing that there will come a time when people abandon sound doctrine in their pursuit of fulfilling their lusts. He told Timothy that instead of having faith in what is true, people will place their faith in made-up stories. He reminded Timothy because he, Paul, had kept the faith, a crown of righteousness was laid up for him. Similarly today, we cannot abandon what is true. If we keep the faith, a crown of righteousness will be laid up for us as well, and we will wear that crown of righteousness in the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is in hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Proverbs tells us not to rely on our own understanding, but to trust in God. Faith is something we direct towards God, not ourselves. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Through faith, we know the kingdom of God will be established and be of great prominence. All nations will become part of this kingdom. God and Jesus Christ will not only be exalted among the people of God, but among all non-believers throughout our planet. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Habakkuk writes of an end-time vision where the people of God are told to wait for it to be fulfilled, because the vision will eventually be fulfilled. Those who get frustrated with the wait are described as not being upright, but the just are described as living by their faith. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Paul wrote the Ephesians and described the spiritual battle we face each and every day. He used the example of the armor of God to stand against Satan's tricks and the evil day to come. He showed how faith can be used defensively to propel the fiery darts of wickedness. If we want to be part of the kingdom of God, we too must use faith to repel Satan's tricks and deceptions. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus taught that he was the bread of life. Those who come to Jesus will never spiritually hunger, nor will they ever spiritually thirst. Faith is needed to never spiritually hunger or spiritually thirst. Faith gives us the basis to not only believe, but to do what is expected of us. John 6, verse 27. Labor not for that meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. If we want to be part of the kingdom of God, which we are celebrating during the Feast of Tabernacles, we can never shrink back in faith. We can never allow ourselves to become less faithful than we are today. For us, there is only one direction that is acceptable to God, that our faith expands and grows. We have faith, and we live by our faith, meaning faith gives us the basis to live our life the way we do. Hebrews 10, verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Looking to the finish line of the race that is set before us takes us to a future place and time when the kingdom of God is established on earth. We are reminded of the need to run our race with patience, meaning it will likely take us longer than any of us can imagine. Instead of growing tired in the faith and allowing ourselves to be in a position where we can shrink back in faith, we are to look to Jesus Christ, who endured a lot of suffering on the cross. We are to consider that if Jesus Christ endured his suffering, we can wait longer than we might ever expect. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. In writing to the Romans, Paul explained his hope was that Israel be saved. But he also knew, instead of relying on Jesus Christ, they tried to establish their own righteousness. The concepts of righteousness developed by mankind is not able to bring us to salvation. Only through Jesus Christ can we be saved and hope to be part of the kingdom of God. It takes faith to believe that it is through Jesus Christ and forgiveness of sins we can be given salvation. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is this, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from heaven, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We know that faith requires action on our part. We know faith has the element of belief and action. Through faith, we believe and do. And we must have this type of faith if we want to be in the kingdom of God. Jesus used an example of people being divided into goats and sheep. In this example, those who were the sheep used faith to guide their actions. They provided food and water to the hungry and thirsty. They provided what was necessary for the needy. They visited the sick and imprisoned. The faith of the sheep led them to take action, showing how they loved other people as themselves. Those who were the goats also had faith. They believed everything that the sheep believed. But the goats did not use faith to guide their actions. The goats simply believed and took no action to help others. The goats did not show love to other people. If we want to be part of the kingdom of God, faith must lead us to take action. And as we are able, and where there is need, through faith we need to be helping others. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And ye shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Knowing we have to wait patiently for the kingdom of God may cause some of us to grow tired. If we wait on God, God will never allow us to become so tired we forget about the kingdom of God. God will renew our strength. We will spiritually run forward and not be weary, and we will walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Through faith, we all become the children of God through Jesus Christ. As the children of God, we are all treated equally by God. With God as Christians today, it makes no difference to him what our lineage is. It makes no difference to God which country we come from or who our ancestors are. It also doesn't make any difference to God if our ancestors can be traced back to the tribes of Israel or not. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we all have the opportunity to be saved and to be part of the kingdom of God, as if we are the descendants of Abraham. Galatians 3, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. May we be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. We celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, and we celebrate knowing faith is needed to be part of the kingdom of God. We know the faith we must have today is a faith that reaches beyond just knowledge and hope. The faith required of us is a faith that requires us to live by the teachings of God, teachings that show of the need to not only do what God expects of us, but to show love to other people by helping them as there is a need and as we are able to do so. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together tomorrow on the second day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Until then, thank you for joining us today.